Thank you, Rena. And thanks you to all of you who shared at open mic tonight. Like, I think all of us pastors say this every single time that, in transition between our open mic time and the sermon, that is our favorite part of the night, because we just get to hear so many amazing stories. It just encourages every one of us to pay attention to what God is working, or how God is working in our lives, rather. So, anyway, if I haven't met you yet, my name is Josh, and if this is your first or second time at TCM, welcome, welcome. I'm really glad to have you here, and I look forward to meeting you one day. I connected with UCM myself as a student halfway through my first year back in 2017, and I ended up on staff after I graduated in 2020. I'm originally from the Philippines, and I moved to Kelowna in 2016 for school. I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Economics here from UBCO in 2020, and I ended up on staff because of UCM's positive impact on me as a student. So now going into my third year as a campus pastor here with UCM. And I'm excited to preach to you tonight for two reasons. One, fun fact, although this is my third year on staff, it actually is my first full sermon in person to you all. Yeah, I've only ever preached online. I don't know if people have noticed that. but yeah, so it's the first time I get to stand up here in front of you and speak, and first time I get to use slides too. But I'm also excited to preach to you tonight to continue our September series entitled We're on a Mission from God. So through this series, we want to emphasize that our mission priority here at UCM is to help students find and follow Jesus while you're at university here at UBCO. So through this series, we want to help you learn what it means to belong in the community of God, to be in communion with God, and to be commissioned from God. Next slide. Yeah, there you go. So the goal of our ministry that we're going to discuss through the series is to help students become disciples, to help you become worshipers, and to help you become missionaries. So last week, James talked about community, and this week we're talking about how to be in communion with God. So we're going to be talking about how to become a worshiper. Go back to the next slide first. Go back to the last one. There you go. Okay, keep it there for now. So we're going to talk about those two words, communion and worship. So before I keep going, I want to ask you guys, when you hear the word communion, what comes to mind? Just shout out some stuff that comes to mind to you when you hear that word. Grape juice, wine, Welsh's. Crackers. What about the word worship? What comes to mind then? Bethany. Praise. Others? Music. Okay, great. What was that? Celebration. Nice. Yeah, all great words that are definitely associated with those two things. So we'll start with the word communion. When I was preparing this talk tonight, one of the things I did was to look in my study Bible's concordance. And if you don't know what that is basically sort of like an index of words, but instead of showing page numbers, it shows like a list of scripture references where you can find that word. So when I looked for the word communion, I was kind of surprised to find in my ESV study Bible, at least, that the word communion is not at all on that list. So instead, we're going to use the dictionary definition. So up there is the definition of communion: the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. So, based on that definition, I would argue that the best example for then being in communion with God, so, you know, exchanging intimate thoughts and feelings, the best example would be Jesus. Again, our mission priority here is to help you find and follow Jesus. And a big part of that is following the examples that Jesus models in how to live out your faith and your relationship with God. So, next slide. Here's a couple of verses of scripture where we can find Jesus in constant and consistent communion with God. Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Now, this verse was after a very busy time of Jesus doing a lot of healing and a lot of exorcism, basically. And Luke 6:12 says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." And this one, that verse was in preparation for Jesus choosing his 12 disciples. So you see that the Mark verse talks is Jesus spending time in prayer after a busy, busy day doing ministry. And the second verse is in preparation for making big decisions and choosing his 12 disciples. So I mentioned those two verses just to show that Jesus, no matter what his situation was, no matter what circumstances he's in, he was in that constant and consistent communion with God through solitary time and through prayer. So now then, what I want to talk about is what Jesus said about prayer so that we all learn how to commune with God through the practice of prayer. So we'll start with, next slide, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." So this passage can be found in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is chapters 5 to 7 in the Gospel of Matthew, where you'll find a lot of Jesus' teachings. And this teaching on prayer is actually where you find the Lord's Prayer first within the four Gospels. But I want you to notice this from this passage specifically. Jesus is teaching against hypocrisy. In Jesus' time, Jews would stop and pray in the synagogues during their prayer time. Some would pray discreetly, some would pray in public. And Jesus isn't condemning like all public prayer, but he's condemning those who simply want to look like they're religious or look like they have a relationship with God, even if they really don't. So when it comes to communion with God through prayer, what's important is your internal motivation for connecting with God. Like I said, I graduated from the school, so I moved from the Philippines to Kelowna in 2016. Didn't know anyone, had to make friends. But looking back on that, I realized whenever I was hanging out with those first few friends that I made through programs like Jumpstart or Being Residence kind of thing, when I was hanging out with them, partying with them, that kind of thing back in first year, I would make a habit of posting stories on Snapchat about what I was doing. And, reflecting on that, I realized that the reason I really did that was kind of to show to my other friends that from the Philippines or just from childhood that, hey, look, I've made friends and I'm doing things and I'm hanging out. But I wasn't really connecting on a deeper level with these new friends that I'd made. Never developed deep friendships with those first few friends. They're still on my social media, but I never actually really talked to them anymore. My friends now, though, that I've been making throughout the last few years, hang out with them a lot, do a lot of things with them, but those who have me on their socials will know I don't ever post on social media because I don't have the need to, because I've developed that deep relationship with those friends already. And it's the same with your relationship with God. There is no need to show it off to others. It's more beneficial to you to develop that relationship on your own through unseen prayer. So that's what Jesus taught about prayer. Now, let's look at how Jesus showed what prayer should be like. Let's go to the next slide there. In Luke 5, verses 15 to 16, that says this, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." This is very similar to the Mark verse I already shared earlier. Context of this is Jesus being really, really busy. But look at verse 16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He did it a lot. Looking at this verse, the study Bible I was using to look at these passages says this, "The increasing crowds, the unceasing demands on Jesus' time, and the fact that no one else could duplicate his ministry did not deter Jesus from spending extensive times in prayer." Increasing crowds, the unceasing demands on Jesus' time, and the fact that no one else could duplicate his ministry did not deter Jesus from spending extensive times in prayer. So, prayer times should not be interrupted. Even if you're getting really busy, which if you're not already, you're going to be. I can promise you that. I'm sorry. But that should not stop you from, finding time to commune with God in prayer regularly. We see this even in Paul's letters later in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Many of you might be familiar with this. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Pray without ceasing doesn't necessarily mean to just be, praying all the time. It's not going to be easy to do your homework or study for midterms when you're just praying all the time. Although some people I've heard from people before talking about something like grades by faith that just praying will get you good grades, but that's not true. Regardless, the verse still says pray without ceasing, which means to be in continuous fellowship with God, whatever your circumstances are. So to summarize what Jesus taught and showed about prayer, communion with God involves prayer that is unseen and interrupted and unceasing, or uninterrupted and unceasing. All right, so I tied the word communion with prayer. Now, the other word we were looking at for tonight was the word worship. So the word worship comes from the Anglo-Saxon word worthship, which means to ascribe ultimate worth to. Worship of God is in recognition of his worthiness of our worship to him. Earlier tonight, one of the songs we sang was "This is Amazing Grace," and the bridge said, "Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the King." Just emphasizing what worship is, kind of recognizing God's worthiness of our praise and worship. And unlike the word communion, the word worship was in the concordance that I used. So one of the verses I want to share that I found from that concordance was Psalm 22, verse 27, which says, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you." Basically, you see here that pretty much everyone and everything will be worshiping and praising God. And throughout the Psalms, we actually see a lot of worship and praise, and that's what the Psalms are. It's a book of prayers and praise, and through that we find different ways that we can worship God as well. That's what I want to talk about next, is the diversity in ways to worship. So, let's first talk about worshiping through music, which is probably, I'm assuming, what most of you are familiar with. So Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with trumpet and sound, praise him with lute and harp, praise him with tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with sounding cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So there's a number of instruments that are listed there, and that just shows you that people have been worshiping God with instruments forever. And as you see here tonight, that's how we express worship in this community. I personally, myself, I also play piano, guitar, and I sing, and that's one way I connect with God and worship him personally. And I encourage you, if you are, if music is your thing, I encourage you to find time at home yourself as well to worship God through music. But worship is not restricted to music, although we've combined the two, right? Like worship, when you say worship, you immediately think music, but that's not necessarily true. There are other ways to do that as well. So let's look at worshiping God through art. Psalm 102:25, next slide says, "Of all you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." So the emphasis of that verse is on God's character as creator. And so I want to tie that in to looking at not just God as creator, but just different creations by people as well, and talking about worship through art reflections as a way to worship. If you've come to UCM for a while, you know that in the past we've done art reflections as part of our worship time. And so I want to show you an example of what that looks like if you're not familiar with that. If you could go to the next slide. This was one of the artworks that we had used in one of our core groups 2 years ago when we did a study in Genesis. So this artwork here is titled Creation by Donald Jackson. And that art reflection there was written by either our pastor Aiden, who has now moved on to other things, or Bethany. Yes, she is. Anyway, one of the ways to worship is to look at, artwork like this and just reflect on what it means and how it represents the character or the nature of God. So, for example, this says, this work was created to reflect the seven-day progression of the creation story. What is so beautiful about this work is the way that each vertical strip flows into the other. Each strip is also incredibly intricate in detail, highlighting the care and attention God put into his creation of each day. He made everything for a purpose. Each strip reflected his creation. So, if music isn't your thing, but art is, this is one way that you can worship. You can reflect an art verse like this that symbolizes something about God and his nature and connect with him that way. The last type of worship that I want to share with you tonight is worshiping God through nature. On the screen there in Psalm 96:11-13 says, "Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness." The first couple of verses there, you'll notice that nature itself is praising God. So what I want to share about that is you can worship God, you can commune with him simply by being in nature. Going on nature walks, going up on hikes. And when you're around creation that itself worships God, you are going to be motivated to worship him yourself for who he is. So I'm a 9 on the Enneagram, if you know what that is. If you don't know what that is, the quickest description I can give you right now is that it's 9 personality styles where types are based on your motivations. If you want to know more about that, you can talk to me later, but you can probably better talk to Pastor James. I love talking about that stuff. The Enneagram isn't necessarily a Christian thing, but it can be applied to Christianity. So next slide there. A.J. Sherrill, in his book, The Enneagram for Spiritual Formation, when applying the Enneagram to Christianity, he talks about what he calls downstream practices and upstream practices, which are basically spiritual practices that help each type grow in their spiritual life. And on that list, as a 9, at least that on a downstream practice, or an easy way for me to connect with God, is through time in creation. And I have definitely found that to be true. Whenever I am out in nature, whenever I go on hikes with friends or alone on walks, it gives me an opportunity to pray, and to praise the Lord, to praise the Lord for the creation that's around me, for other things that that he puts on my heart to talk to him about as well. So, talked about worship through music, through art, and through nature. They're just three examples that I've been aware of and have practiced myself, but I'm sure there are other ways that each of you have found too to connect with God, and I encourage you to dig deeper into that as you find regular time to commune with God this year. All right, so we've talked about the importance of prayer and how you can worship God in different ways. But as we've talked about before, your faith shouldn't be lived out alone. Matt even reminded us of that during his open mic sharing earlier tonight, that university is not a time. Now, it is a time where you'll need people, and Christianity is to be practiced in community. So, last thing I want to talk about tonight is how you can practice communion with God and how you can practice worshiping God as a community of disciples. Last week, when Pastor James was preaching on belonging in community, he brought up this book by Joseph Myers called The Search to Belong. And from that book, he talks about 4 different spaces of belonging. So let me just summarize that for you right now. These 4 spaces of belonging are public, so spaces where you can connect easily with others through a shared interest. So for example, if you go to a concert because everyone there enjoys that artist that you're watching or that you've paid to see. Social space is a space where we can form kind of first impressions of each other, and it's a space where we can evaluate who we might want to hang out with later. Personal space is a smaller space where you are together with closer friends. And then intimate space is an even smaller group where you can be your most vulnerable. Next slide. We even applied this to Jesus and his time. Public space was the crowds who wanted to listen to his teachings. Social space was the 72 that Jesus trained in Luke 10 to go out on mission. The personal space was the 12 disciples that Jesus invited into his inner circle. And intimate space was Peter, James, and John, which are basically Jesus' favorite disciples to hang out with. As a student in Kelowna, I would argue that these are kind of what can represent those spaces in your lives right now. So public space would be the local church. Because of just finding connection with others in the city through Jesus, right? Through being a Christian community. Social space would be this here right now, UCM Thursday nights. Because not only your connection as Christians, but also connection as university students where you can find those in the same faculty or major, the same dorm kind of thing. Personal space would be our core groups, which if you haven't been to one, check one out. Core groups are small group Bible studies that we run throughout the week. And in it, you can grow closer to a lot of different friends. And then intimate space would be our discipleship huddles, which some of you have jumped into, which are more intentional, smaller groups in making disciple makers. So in the context of communion with God and worship, for each of those spaces, there are ways that you can do you can worship God together. Public space, so local church, that will depend on wherever you go. So there could be a practice of worship through music, similar to what we did here. There could be liturgical elements of music if you go to a Catholic, Orthodox, or Anglican church. Shani is very happy about that. For social space, like Thursday nights here, like I already mentioned, we practice that through music, and we've occasionally practiced that through art reflections as well. In our personal space, in core groups, I've listed four different things there, because in core groups, you're very welcome to practice that together, like have a worship element within your core group meeting, such as through music, having art reflections, which we've done both in the past. You can do a dedicated prayer night in your core group. And we also, I said nature there because we also encourage our core group leaders to schedule social events with your core throughout the year. And an example of that could be going on a hike together. And when you go together, then you can be in creation and worship God as a core group. And in our intimate space, in our discipleship huddles, one example that I thought of that we could practice in those smaller settings is a dedicated hour of prayer. So I'm going to go back to the Enneagram example. I shared that the downstream practice is, for me as a 9, was to spend time in creation. But the upstream practice, something that's more difficult for me to do, would be a fixed hour prayer. And I think that practicing that, in a discipleship huddle that I'm in would give me some accountability with a committed hour of prayer. And that'll help me in my personal prayer life as well in practicing that on my own. So I hope that all gives you an idea of just how to be in communion with God this year. So be in constant and committed prayer to God. Find ways to connect with Him and to worship Him that works for you. If you're not musical, do art reflections. If you're not artistic, but musical, sing and play. But both of those things, practice them together as a community of disciples. We like ending our nights with giving you all a chance to reflect on these talks with each other. So we've got discussion questions up here. So when I'm done, I'd like you to turn around to the people around you and just form groups of 6 and kind of the next 5-10 minutes talk about these questions. But before I let you go and talk about these discussion questions, let me just pray to close. Father, we worship you here tonight, for you are worthy of all of our praise. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. And I pray tonight that as we learn how to be worshipers, that we find all the ways that we can connect with you, and that we do that in dedicated, committed manner, and find regular rhythms and regular time to commune with you, Lord, to be true disciples and true worshipers as we enter this year. In Jesus' name, amen.